till 7 p.m. For more information and tickets, call 202-368-4081 or visit Eventbrite and search for Jerry Paris Retirement. Seating is limited.
Welcome to Heal DC for Monday, April 8th, 2024. This is Joni. And good morning, Chuck Hicks.
Morning, Joni.
Glad to hear you. As we walk through this day, we're going to be having a solar eclipse. Make sure you have, if you're going to try to check it out, make sure you have those special glasses. I understand it starts around 2:04 DC and goes to about 4:30. But be careful out there today, April 8th, the day before Paul Robeson's birthday, which we will be honoring him at the end of the program. I want to give a special shout out and lots of love to our own Magic Mike, who is usually there as the engineer with us on Mondays. He'll be back soon. He lost his dad last week, so we're sending him lots of love and appreciation for everything he does. And congratulations to the weekend folks who did a pledge drive over the weekend to raise money for our move. I am thrilled and very thankful to have joining us for at least the first half of the show, Harriet's Wildest Dreams. And we're going to introduce them in a moment. But Harriet's Wildest Dreams, definitely one of my favorite and the most important and inspiring organizations in DC these days. And then at the end of the show, we're going to be giving a shout out and tribute to Mama Dory, who's going to be having her memorial service homegoing this Saturday, 11 a.m. at Shiloh Baptist. We're going to be reading a special poem that was written in her honor. So with that said, we are very excited to welcome Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Nini and Kiana, and they're going to be talking about quite a number of things that have been going on in DC. So first let me welcome them. I'm going to ask Nini and Kiana just to give a little bit about yourself before we jump into the issues and a little bit about Harriet's Wildest Dreams. Good morning, Nini.
Good morning, Joni. Thanks for having us. We always look forward to sharing space with our family here at WPFW.
We're happy to have you.
Yeah, I'm Nini Teller. I'm the executive director of Harriet's Wildest Dreams and one of the co-founders.
I'm sorry. Yeah, just to tell people who don't know you what Harriet's Wildest Dreams is.
We're a Black-led abolitionist organization. Doing the work to dismantle the systems of all the systems of oppression that's actually holding our people down through state sanctioned violence. And also we deal with intercommunity violence, and we do this work by a community defense hub where we do we support the work in community support with rapid response and protesting, legal empowerment, which Kiana can jump more into with that, because yeah, Kiana holds that pillar for me, and also political education, where we are educating our people, because without knowledge, you know, we won't have power.
Absolutely. And just real quick, tell us the names of some of your, I forget what you call it.
Our pillars?
Yes.
Yeah. So our pillars is the hurt responders, which does the community support, and the ones that's out there protesting and doing mutual aid, just taking care of the community. Those are hurt responders named after Hurt Tubman. And then we have Ida B. Wells, our Ida B. Free pillar, which is our legal empowerment pillar that does all the work to getting our people out of these prisons and keeping our people safe. And then we have Ella Baker, which is the LA Emancipators, where we do the work of politically educating our people in campaigns and policies that would better the movement and empower our Black people.
Very, very inspiring work that you do. Kiana, would you like to introduce yourself too? Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. My name is Kiana. And I am a co-conductor at Harriet's Wildest Dreams on the Ida B. Free pillar. I'm also the founder and executive director of Life After Release. And I'm a proud member of the National Council of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. And I come to the work because I am the work, right? Doing the work to make sure that our people who are formerly incarcerated or directly impacted by the criminal legal system are able to navigate that system and come out on the other side a better person, being able to actually get their needs met during that process. At Harriet's Wildest Dreams, we have a criminal legal defense hub where we actually work with individuals who are facing criminal charges in Washington, D.C., and help do court support with them, taking them to and from court, making sure that they understand their case, they can talk to their attorney. And we also do court watching, where we're actually watching the proceedings of courts to make sure and ensure that there is accountability in the courts. We did release our first report where we were talking about the issues around the Secure DC bills and how that affected and how that showed up in our court system. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much for being on with us today. I think this is your first time with us, so we're very excited. We have, Nene, quite a number of issues to run down. The Secure DC, what's happening with that so-called crime bill, Bowser's budget, the DC council protests because they're not moving and not even willing to talk about the ceasefire. So, and then of course, Kiana's going to talk about the Black Mama bailout effort that's going to be doing a special events coming up soon. But Nene, do you want to start, or you both want to start maybe with Secure DC and what's up with that? Or wherever you want to start is fine.
That's fine. We can start with Secure DC, where we literally seeing that DC is not being secured. It's actually being a facade to the community. Before they even signed the bill, crime had started, the numbers had started going down. So the reality of what they're trying to secure is to keep gentrification and developers and Capitol Hill safe. That's what they're securing. They're securing capitalism. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about that, what does that look like? That look like they literally want a Metropolitan Police Department to secure DC, when we literally just found out that they have sold several of the guns that's being found in these crime scenes. So is this really the people you all want to keep us safe? The ones who actually people that's committing the alleged crime are using guns that's sold from the Metropolitan Police Department. So with that being said, the bill is just a facade, and it's to make people feel safe when they're not really safe. And actually just their bills, their laws that was already in place, and they just amplified and said, hey, look at us, we're going to do this now, we're going to do that now, like the drug-free zones, the fare evasion, all of those were already on the books where people could be held accountable for committing majority of the laws that they just done. They already had laws on the book to hold people accountable. So it's just a basic, it's a circus, it's a sideshow to get people pumped up, but that's not really securing DC.
Absolutely, and it's also very effective in keeping people divided, which is another goal that they have. And we're not going to, we and other shows on WPFW have talked a lot about this crime bill, so-called crime bill. I was very impressed and excited to see the mobilization that came out to protest the crime bill, but they went ahead and passed it anyway. I think Trayon was the only one who abstained. Everybody else voted for it. So it's quite disturbing, some of the things that are in that bill. And of course, surprise, surprise, all of a sudden we see Maryland is doing the same thing with some of the exact same provisions. So obviously the ruling elite are talking about this together. So I was kind of surprised to see that's happening in Maryland as well. And it hasn't yet been passed. So people in Maryland, you can call the governor, tell them not to pass that bill where they're going to handcuff children and on. Just very, very concerning. So jumping from Secure DC, because we don't have that much time for each of these topics. I know, Nene, you were extremely upset, or rightfully so. You raised questions about the Bowser budget. She's cutting so many things. I think she's cutting the violence interrupters. She's cutting DC, the child care programs. So anything you want to add to your concerns about this budget that she has?
Yes, sure thing. I mean, reality is when you cutting up the resources and the root of what actually can actually decrease crime, how are we securing DC? We're literally giving $500 million to a hockey team and basketball team, where you are trying to take money away from early education, the workers who barely make money. And actually, you have to train a child the way they should go. And 9 times out of 10, even if that child stumbles, she knows the path, or he knows the path, right? But when you cutting programs that actually can help the community, how are we really securing DC? And she have to rob Peter to pay Paul, due to the fact that they skinmongered her, thinking that they was going to take momentum from DC. When reality is, they had a whole lot of laws with that. That momentum could not even probably do it without being held accountable in the legal system, because they signed the contract. So it's really sad, and we're going to fight some of these the budget cuts, because don't take from the people that's already oppressed, and systems that can actually empower our people and make DC safer to give to capitalism and developers. It's just not okay. And a lot of people is upset with it. And so we're looking forward to going to some of the hearings and speaking up and trying, as we always do, community defense and fighting to keep our people safe.
Absolutely. And I believe she's even cutting rental assistance and on. Yeah, it's really... Yes.
It's a lot of programs that actually people are already oppressed, because the economy has got the inflation has gone up. We can't, what a banana cost yesterday, 29 cents. You go to the 39 cent, you go in a grocery store, banana is now 79 cents, 69. Mm. A can of string beans is $1.25. You know, like the food stamps not adding up, you know, they're not adding up. And so be careful what you're doing, because right now they're saying crime is down. But yeah, if you cut these programs, let's just know that poverty is a root cause of crime.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. And we're also proud because there are quite a number of community organizations working to support the young people, which is an important way of reducing crime. We're kind of running through these issues because Harriet's Wildest Dreams has half the hour. So we have more issues to cover. And one of those is the D.C. City Council's refusal to even discuss the ceasefire now resolution. And there's been a coalition of people led by a group called the DC Ceasefire Now Coalition that has been doing amazing protests at the DC City Council. People, I want to give a shout out to many of the people involved, and of course to our own Reverend Graylin Hagler, who helped to organize it as well. But Harriet's Wildest Dreams has been right there in the middle of it. And before we, I ask Needy to discuss it, we're going to play hopefully a little clip. Some of you may not have heard or seen these activists from our community very bravely and very brilliantly jumping up and disrupting the DC City Council hearings. And this one that we're going to hear a little bit with about four or five different activists as they're being pretty much dragged away, that let's hear it.
We should not have to fight Democrats to divest from war.
Come on, ma'am.
People in DC need help. Need help. They need stable access to food, water, clean housing, education, healthcare.
I don't want my tax dollars used for genocide any longer. I'm a Jewish resident of War 3 part of the ceasefire resolution. Now!
My name is Matel Salem. Israel murdered over 100 people in my family in Gaza. I am a DC resident. Call for a ceasefire. Condemn Israel.
As a person of faith and a religious leader, I need the council to call for a ceasefire. I was just in Palestine. Our DC taxation without representation is being used to fight genocide.
I'm a Mormon resident. I'm calling for a ceasefire resolution in DC. It protects human dignity, the sacredness of human life.
DC City Council says they do not entertain international issues, but in 2019 they need a bond with Israel for an MUA agreement for tourism.
We demand that you introduce a resolution to condemn the genocide that is happening, a resolution to end all DC taxpayer money being used to enact the genocide.
I'm a Jewish resident of Ward 5. The JCRC does not speak for me. The ADL does not speak for me. Seven members of the World Central Kitchen killed yesterday trying to get into Gaza. Trying to get into Gaza to feed millions of people. We're going to starve to death, and you will do nothing about it.
And again, that was just last Tuesday at the D.C. City Council. D.C. residents being dragged out of the room for calling for the D.C. City Council to discuss a resolution. I want to thank Emily Siegel for sharing that with us, but Nini and Kiana to share with the listeners what that was like and what you did, Harriet's Wildest Dreams, to participate in a very inspiring protests which disrupted the DC City Council.
Yeah, first I want to say people, the community and constituents, they feel like the council, it's none of their business what's happening in Palestine, which is far from the truth. What DC constituents don't realize is that $15.6 million of their tax dollars money is paying for genocide and weapons to be actually used. DC is not a state, yet they are the highest government official that we have that can speak for us when it comes to Capitol Hill. And so when we say this, when Israel IDF first started attacking Palestine, the embassy literally came and sat at the council and had a meeting with a couple of the council members, Bill Mendelson being one that was attended that meeting. So you can't tell us, and then you lit the Wilson building blue in solidarity with Israel. So therefore you can't now say that Israel and what's happening in Palestine is none of our business. When you actually have tax dollars that's committing that is contributing to get genocide, and you also have done resolutions for different other countries when you stood in solidarity with South Africa for apartheid, you actually supported went against the war of Iraq, and you actually supporting Ukraine right now with Russia. So therefore you are being complicit with the innocent lives of people being killed in Palestine, children and women included. And you have met with DC Palestinian constituents, your constituents, where we have one of our comrades who have had over 100 family members killed. And yet the council won't say anything, but yet we know you can say something. Just say ceasefire, stop killing innocent people.
Absolutely. And I think, Nini, repeat the fact that The D.C. spends $15.6 million a year to kill people in Gaza. Is that what you said?
$15.6 million of D.C. tax money goes towards weapons and the actually war, imperialism. It does.
Absolutely. So
we are taxation without no representation. So even though you don't have any representation, you're a tax, and your tax money pays for imperialism.
Absolutely. And that 15.6 million, look at everything that could be given to the community with that 15.6.
All the things that our Martha agitator Sophia said, housing, you know, education, food, like, no, that's a real thing. That money can be divested. And so the council need to take a stand. And I want people to know that we did sit down and we talked to them. So this escalation didn't just start, say, hey, let's just go protest the council. Let's just meet Maria Bowser everywhere she go. Let's go meet Phil Mendelson everywhere he at. No, people have sat down and asked. Herd's Dreams actually wrote each council member asking for them to do a resolution. Because they don't have the power, because they don't have a voice in Congress, a vote, but they can write a resolution and stand in solidarity with over 48 other cities who have actually over 50 now cities who have asked for a ceasefire.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you want to share anything about the meeting with Phil Mendelson. I saw part of it. It was quite well, I don't know if it's shocking, but it was definitely upsetting to hear him say, what did he say? It was something like, it's not important.
Basically, that's what he said. But now that he see that, once he said it wasn't important and we turned up the heat, he's feeling the fire. And so right now, everybody's so scared to touch it because they don't want to be tagged as anti-Semitic, which is really, you know, it's a touchy situation. We're not saying that the hostages in Israel are not important. Yes, they, you know, they are important as well. No lives should be taken or held. But yet you don't get to keep killing civilians, you know, in spite of Hamas saying for them to free the Israel hostages. You're literally dropping bombs on innocent people. The World Kitchen tried to help the people with legally and take food over there. And you bombed three caravans, three vehicles. So that was intentional. It was intentional. You kill innocent people trying to just provide food to people who have nothing to eat.
Absolutely. And many of us know that it has nothing to do with so-called supporting Jews. It's anti-Semitic to be killing people in the name of Jewish people. That is what true anti-Semitism is. And again, it's the United States and Biden and the ruling elite that wants that control over that region. They could care less over a lot of these things they pretend that this is all about. In a minute, we're going to jump in and ask Kiana to talk about some of the things that she's working in. But Kiana, unless you have something you want to share about this particular issue of the money that's being spent to kill children, the D.C. taxpayers' money, $15.6 million. To kill those little babies and pregnant women, and it's deeply disturbing, to put it mildly.
Yes, absolutely. The D.C. Council needs to absolutely call for a ceasefire and without delay. We have so many lives that have been lost, and the money that's being spent. And Nini said it all. There's not much to say more outside of that. I just wanted to stand in solidarity with what she said around ensuring that D.C. Council calls for ceasefire immediately for our loved ones.
Yes, and I'll just say again, it was very inspiring, and I'm very proud of the organizers, including Harriet's Wildest Dreams and the others involved with the D.C. Ceasefire Coalition. Very inspiring to see them out there really standing up for the end to this genocide. So let's jump in, Kiana. Tell us what you're up to and tell us about this Black Mama Bailout program.
Yes. So each year we have a collective that comes together. It's the Free Black Mamas DMV, which consists of Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Life After Release, And we come together and we bail Black mothers out of jail, out of cages in Maryland, D.C. and Virginia. While D.C. does not have a bail per se, we do identify D.C. residents who have been captured in other jurisdictions, and we bail them out and also provide them a wraparound support services, help them get to and from their court cases. We provide participatory defense for them to make sure that they are able to fight their cases. And I will say today's date, we have a 98% rate of individuals whose cases are dropped. So that lets us know that. It's like a catch and release system where they're catching Black women, putting them in cages where they cannot afford bond. And they're, you know, keeping them there for 2-3 months if they can't afford bond. We actually had cases where mothers gave birth in jail. And their case, you know, we're still working on their cases. We have another situation where we bailed a nine month pregnant woman out, and she gave birth 2 weeks after we bonded her out. If we did not bond her out, she would have absolutely have given birth in a cage. And so the work of Free Black Mamas is the Lord's work, like I like to say, because we're actually out here ensuring that we are getting Black mothers. And we do it all year round. Actually, we just make that awareness around Mother's Day to let folks know that we want to bring as many Black women home from cages to spend time with their children, and they shouldn't be there because they cannot afford their freedom.
Absolutely.
You're listening. I would like to jump in on that because right now they're doing it. Like Kiana said, the wraparound services is a real thing, because sometimes when we don't get to them fast enough, they have lost housing, they have lost their jobs. And so therefore we, Kiana, with the Ida B. Free pillar, out of Wells Pillar, we provide those services. So right now we actually have a GoFundMe where we are trying to raise funding so that we can be able to continue to do the wraparound services. So people can go to bit.ly.
Wait. We're not supposed to give out GoFundMe on the air, but.
Okay, yes. All right.
Is there another way that
if you visit Her As Wild As Dreams, follow Her As Wild As Dreams, you can, you'll find out more about the work and how you can support the mothers that we actually are bailing out. And also, thank you for that, Joni, because I wasn't aware. But if you follow Her As Dreams on Instagram, you can find more about what we're doing and how you can support us with that work. And Kiana can actually talk about another event that we have before we start the work of Free Black Mamas. We have the Free Her Rally for formerly incarcerated women.
Absolutely. So, and let me just remind people, you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM to Heal DC with me, Joni, and Chuck is also here with us. We're talking with Harriet's Wildest Dreams with Nene and Kiana for a few more minutes, and we're very thankful to have them on. So keep going, Nene.
I have a very important date for folks. I want folks to write down the date. On May the 11th, we will be having a Mommy and Me picnic in the park at Anacostia Park in collaboration with Free Black Mamas DMV, Harriet's Wildest Dreams, and the Black Mothers March. We will be collaborating this year, and we will be in Anacostia Park. We expect over 200 people to be in the park to hear what it is we need to talk about with our mamas. And we have that date coming up. So I wanted folks to put that date on the calendar. And also, like Nene said, to donate. If you want to volunteer, go to Harriet's Wildest Dreams so that you can volunteer with us for that event. And we are going to be having a community baby shower as well on May 18th. So please write those dates down. Please follow us on Harriet's Wildest Dreams. And then last but not least, we have the Free Her March that is coming up. I'm a member of the National Council of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. I am a formerly incarcerated woman. And as a member of this council, we will be coming together on April the 24th at 11 a.m. at Freedom Plaza, where we will be demanding yet again. It's the 10th year anniversary that we have been demanding the release of women that are in federal cages through the through clemency and pardons, through governors, and particularly Biden, who has the power of a pen to release women who have been held in cages for 20, 30 years. and it's time for them to come home. And so we will be joining the National Council with Andrea James to demand yet again that these, that our women, our loved ones who have been languishing in cages, be released. Biden did release 11 people this year, but they were all men. There were no women on that roster to be released on his plan. So we are here to do that as well. So those are the two major things. And if you know anyone, one in four of us are affected by the criminal legal system or have been arrested or have served time. So there's someone listening who has a loved one or themselves that has been affected by the criminal legal system. Join us in our fight and join us in our organizing so that we can enhance the quality of our lives.
Wow, it's very important. If you can just, I'm gonna ask you to stay for two or three more minutes just so we can repeat some of what you just said. Now, you said let me ask you this question, Kiana. Do you know off the top of your head how many women, how many Black sisters are locked up in the D.C. area or nationally?
We are working on those numbers. We don't have the clear numbers. We're still getting those numbers back in. So I don't want to give anything because DC residents get shipped all across the country. And so it's hard to track our women down when their cases originated in DC, and then DC is not a state. So to find, you know, the women that are actually the women that are our women from DC, it's been a little bit of a challenge, but we are working on that. We will have those numbers up soon by the rally.
Good. And when you mentioned the National Council, I think that was for, I'm not sure which event that was for, but which National Council were you referring to?
The National Council of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. It's the National Council, and that was for the rally, the Free Her rally in March that's happening on April the 24th at 11 o'clock a.m. on Freedom Plaza.
And that is a Wednesday, I believe.
Yes.
And I'm going to urge Harriet's Wildest Dreams, if you can do a little recording of these two events. Well, we want to keep repeating it as we move closer to the April 24th date and the May 11th date, and also May 18th. So that's April 24th. Just one last time. Kiana, if you want to repeat those three dates. Wednesday, April 24th, is at Freedom Plaza. We run them down again so we can remember
so
them.
So we have April the 24th, Wednesday, April the 24th at 11 a.m. at Freedom Plaza. Is the 10th anniversary of the Free Her March on Washington that will be happening in Freedom Plaza. And then on May the 11th, we will be having the Mommy and Me picnic in Anacostia Park in conjunction with the Black Mothers March. And that will start at about 2 p.m. And then we also have our other event is a community baby shower that we will be having in Suitland, Maryland at May 18th. We have the community baby shower in Suitland, Maryland.
Okay. And I think that's Malcolm X's weekend birthday. So that's April 24th, May 11th, and May 18th. And we're going to do the best we can to keep reminding our listeners of these very important dates. We are very proud of Harriet's Wildest Dreams, very inspiring. Nina, you have a last word, or Kiana, before we tell you goodbye for today.
Maybe just not remember that we keep us safe.
Absolutely,
definitely.
And Kiana,
and to just follow Harriet's Dreams on Instagram and Twitter, just to stay up with the work, because the power is in the people. And as we build, we're going to need strength, and strength comes from people. So please get involved. As Trayon White say, just don't stand there, do something.
That's exactly right. And again, we're so thankful and happy that you could both be on with us today. And thank you, Kiana. Did you have a final word before we say bye for today?
We do this till we free us.
Absolutely. Again, Harriet's Wildest Dreams, we thank you for everything you do. You do things for all of us. We're all more free with thanks to the work you do. So we look forward to having you on again soon. And keep hanging in there. We're going to keep being with you. And we're going to move in for the rest of the half hour that we have left, or about 20 minutes we have left. We're going to be honoring and sending much love to our own Dory Ladner, who became an ancestor, I think, Chuck, was it 3 Mondays ago on May 11th? I mean, what was it then? March 11th. And so, of course, many listeners know that Dory Ladner was a major activist with SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, way back in the 60s. She's been here in Washington, D.C. since the early 70s. She worked at D.C. General for many, 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 many years. She was always still remaining on the side of the people. She's, of course, could be heard on throughout our radio station, specifically with Lance Reynolds on House of Soul Saturday mornings. There is going to be a celebration of her life this coming Saturday, August 11th. I'm sorry. Excuse me, everybody. April 13th, this Saturday, April 13th at 11 a.m. at Shiloh Baptist Church. And in a few moments, we're going to be hearing from Josh Myers, who wrote a beautiful poem in honor of Dory. But we also wanted to, we're gonna play a little song in honor of Dory. Unless, Chuck, do you have something real quick you want to jump in and say before we
come out and play tribute to Dory on her memorial service?
Absolutely.
As she lived.
And she's still really with us. You know, many of us who are close to her feel her spirit and hear her words all the time. So Dory asked me, Dory was very close to Bob Dylan back in the day in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. She kind of taught Bob Dylan some of what he knew about Emmett Till and all that stuff. So Dory would be calling this past year in particular, she would call the DJs and the hosts and the engineers on WPFW, and she would ask them to play Masters of War, which was a powerful song that Bob Dylan wrote when the Vietnam War started. But she wanted to make sure that that song was played this past year in particular, when we are busy slaughtering people in Gaza. So we're going to play a little bit of Masters of War, sung by Odetta, before Josh joins us. So let's hear it.
Now you masters of war, you that build all of the guns, you that build the dead planes, you that build the big bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks, just want you to know that I see through your mask. You that never done nothing but build to destroy, play with my world like it's your little toy. Put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes and turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like the Judas of old, you lie, you deceive. World war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain.
Okay, and so that was just a little bit about of that powerful song, still very relevant with us today, requested by Dori Ladner. She was asking everybody to play it in the past year. And I think we might have Josh Myers on. Is Josh with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Oh, welcome. Well, let me introduce you for people who do not know Josh Myers. I had the blessing of hearing him this Saturday at Sankofa with A.B. Spellman. Thanks to, want to give a shout out to Jordan Strudwick, who made sure we knew about it. But Josh, of course, I'm going to read a little bit about what A.B. said about him, which is on Josh's new book, Holy Ghost Key, which we heard was just released we heard about it on Saturday. Josh Myers, while gaining a growing reputation as a scholar of Black studies, has found time to make himself into a very strong poet. His poems are both thoughtful and intuitive. They are moving because they are musical, rich in swinging cadences, yet are fat with the funk and soul of great gospel and blues. While these poems are deeply planting in Black culture, that depth lets anyone find themselves inside them. And that's what our own A.B. Spellman. So, Josh, welcome. We're glad you could join us. The poem that I heard you share with us on Saturday about Dori was very moving. So if mm-hmm. you would like to share it or anything you would like to say, go for it.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So Dori and I met, I guess it must have been right after I first got to Howard as a professor in 2013, maybe 2 or 3 years later. And I remember she came to a talk I was giving on Martin Delaney over at the African-American Civil War Memorial and Museum. And we stayed in touch ever since. And as I shared on Saturday, I always talked to her when I was working on something, when I was writing something. And, I used her intellect as a way to check myself, to test myself, to see, whether or not what I was writing was relevant, valid, what have you, because I saw in her and trusted her, her connection on the pulse of our people. And, she was someone who, we could talk to about that. I could introduce students to her and engage, them with real living history. And it was an important connection in my life. In some ways, I regret not talking to her more. But what she was able to give to me is extremely profound. And I remember when Donald Stone passed away, I sent her an email and, she responded and said, when we all leave, it's okay, Josh, cause know that we lived our lives in service to the beloved community, that our living, as the Clark sisters said, was not in vain. And so we connected in that moment, even more deeply. And so, when she fell ill, that was what I was thinking about, how she did her work and she did what she was supposed to do. She did, the work that she was born to do. And that's the best thing that we all can do, find out what we were born to do and do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how about you share the poem and then we can still keep talking?
Yeah, sure. So this is called Monument for Dori. And it reads, if it were true that people made time for the things we want, I would make time for Dori. More time for Dori's courage. More time for for Dory's laughs, more time for Dory's love, more time for Dory's standing up, more time for Dory's fighting back, more time for Dory's smiles, more time for Dory's frowns, more time for Dory's sarcasm, more time for Dory's emails, more time for Dory's chill, more time for Dory's will, more time for Dory's cool. I would make a whole Dory school. But it is not true. We can't make time for everything we want. But maybe we can make more of our memories, more of the time we have to build a love monument for the world Dory wanted.
Wow. Chuck, you want to say something?
Absolutely captivating that. And I remember when Dory met you and she called me, she said, I met this new professor and you need to know him, Chuck. And she was just so enthused about you and your potential. And I know that you all stayed in touch, but that poem is absolutely the essence of what we can say about Dory. I salute you. I am so pleased that you all got to know each other and became friends. I'm happy to have been able to have her as a friend. I'm happy to know that she had so many friends like Chuck Hicks and better. we are just grateful for that. Thank you so much, my brother.
Yes.
And thank you, Chuck. And it's Josh, so good to hear your voice.
And Josh, of course, also works with Dr. Greg Carr, who's part of our family here as well, and of course, part of Dory's family, too. And Josh, maybe share with us a little bit about what you do with this SNCC Legacy Project. I know that Karen Spellman has you busy.
Oh, yes. In fact, we're meeting later today. so one of the many things that I've been doing for the last 8 years now with the SNCC Legacy Project is reinforcing, you know, the connection that SNCC forged with Black Studies departments and the concept of Black Studies itself, and reinforcing that by facilitating contact with young students, and also by developing curricula and content that allows us to have a more authentic view of what the Black Freedom Movement was all about from the lens of SNCC. And so a lot of things that are coming down the pipe include community classes, community courses on the histories of the movement. We're working on presenting a course this summer on Freedom Summer. We know that it is the anniversary, the 60th anniversary of Freedom Summer 1964. It's also an important election year, and we want to be able to reinforce our minds and our spirits with the meanings of why Freedom Summer matters and what does it mean for us moving forward. So it's not just backward looking, but it's also forward looking as well. And so we'll be developing that course, and be on the lookout for an announcement. Of course, we'll probably come back on WPFW to announce it and make sure that people are there so that we can really have this conversation. We want to bring college students and community folks together to have this conversation around Freedom Summer. And so that's one of about six courses that we have now. Two are in development, four of them are done. We have one on the Black Power Movement. We have one on the concept of nonviolent direct action. And we have a course on Lowndes County. And those courses will now be taught in Black Studies departments around the country, and they're developed by the SNCC Legacy Project. So it's really important that we have, you know, classes on the movement and perspectives on the movement that are generated by its participants.
Absolutely. And of course, Dory was very involved with the Freedom Summer and many other things. And as time goes on, we're going to continue, of course. Dory's going to be with us. She really isn't going too far away from us. And one thing I think is many people do know Fannie Lou Hamer. I'm always a little surprised that people don't know the number of people who do not know what SNCC was or is, a Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. But more people know Fannie Lou Hamer. And of course, Dory, together with our own Lawrence Guyot, really are the ones who recruited Fannie Lou Hamer into the movement. And it's, I'm sure you know, Josh. So we're going to keep celebrating Dory. We're going to keep celebrating SNCC. And any last words you want to share with us, Josh, before we leave you for today?
I just want to say, like, there's still work to be done. And I know this particular show, this program, and many others in WPOW reinforce that all the time. But, you know, we have a lot of work to do. The world is in need of love, is in need of radicalism. It is in need of a new way of doing things. And so thank you for the work that you do, and anything that I can do to support your work, please let me know, and we'll keep fighting.
Oh, that's very heartwarming and encouraging. And just hang with us for a few more minutes, Josh, as we're going to the end of the program. And as Dory well knows, tomorrow is Paul Robeson's birthday. And of course, last year, I think, was his 125th birthday. But we want to make sure that we always lift up Paul Robeson, who has still a lot to teach us. And so we're going to be going out in a moment with our outro song of Paul Robeson, and that is the song about Joe Hill. And of course, in that song, he says, you know, he's singing, he says he hasn't died, you know. So I think if you listen to that song and you think about Dory, she really is still with us, and she will be remaining with us. So I think that she would be approve of us picking this song as our outro song. We also want, of course, give a big shout out to Joyce Ladner, Dory's sister. Those of you who can access Facebook, there's some beautiful, beautiful pictures that Joyce has been posting about Dory and Joyce. Very, very, very inspiring. And of course, a big shout out to Dory's daughter, Yodit, and her wonderful son. And we hope to get your son involved with WPFW moving into the future when the family is ready for it. So I want to make sure that people stay tuned. We're going to call this Magic Monday today because of the eclipse. But, of course, stay tuned at 2:04. The eclipse, I think, starts. Make sure if you do want to check it out, you wear those glasses. I forgot to get any, so I'm not going to be going out and seeing it. But, of course, 2 p.m. to your health with Dr. Watkins and continuing on with us through the day. So we hope to see a lot of you on Saturday. Certainly me and Chuck and Josh are going to be there, Shiloh Baptist Church, at 11 a.m. Chuck, you want to say a final word?
Oh, I just think this has been such an inspiring show. My hat off to Harriet Wilder Stream. And, of course, Dory was always in my heart. She was a very, very special and close friend. And hats off to you, Joni, and the wonderful effort and time you've been in to make all these shows what they are. My hats off to you. I just sit here and thought of chat every once in a while, but you do the real work. Thank you, sister. Love you.
You inspire me. Love you, too. And, Josh, we're very excited that you could be with us today, and it won't be the last time. And I'm going to make sure that Dr. Greg Carr knows about that beautiful poem you wrote. Beautiful poem for Dory. Dory would be very happy. So, again, stay tuned. Again, we are going out with Paul Robeson in honor of his birthday tomorrow. And he's singing about Joe Hill, but we can think about our own forever beloved Dory Ladner.
Alive as you and me, says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake City, Joe, says I, am standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I'm dead. Says Joe, but I'm dead. The copper pulses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I didn't die. Says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life and smiling with his eyes, says Joe, what they can never kill, went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where working men defend their rights, it's there you'll find Joe Hill. It's there you'll find Joe Hill. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. I never died, says he.
For listening to the just completed program. If you'd like to offer feedback on any of our programming, please email us at info@wpfw.org.
The search process for WPFW's next general manager is underway. Successful management searches begin by having conversations with stakeholders to clarify and document expectations for future management. Therefore, WPFW's local station board is inviting all stakeholders to participate in our online survey. To complete the survey, please click the link on WPFW's website. Because we need your input, the deadline for the survey has been extended to Friday, April 12, 2024. Thank you.
Born of Haitian descent, Jerry Paris, WPFW's general manager, is moving on to retirement. On April 14th, from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m., we will celebrate his departure at the VIP Room, 6201 3rd Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., with Island Flair, steel drums, a DJ, and food from the islands. That's April 14th from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. For more information and tickets, call 202-368-4081 or visit Eventbrite and search for Jerry Paris Retirement. Seating is limited.
I don't remember how I found WPFW nearly 47 years ago, but when I heard the insightful information and soul-filled sounds coming from my radio, I instantly realized that PFW is the truth and a gift. For nearly five decades, it has bestowed news from a perspective that I respect, opinions that resonate with my worldview, and music that makes my heart sing. Jazz and Justice Radio is the real deal. This is Vanessa Dixon Briggs wishing a joyful 47th birthday to WPFW 89.3 on your FM dial.